And earth, as in dirt, and dirt as in clay, gravel, sand, silt, soil, loam and mud is everywhere. Civilizations throughout history have used this valuable commodity to build everything from simple mud huts to more elaborate houses and palaces. We tend to associate earth buildings made out of mud bricks or rammed earth with poor or developing countries, but look a bit further, and in Yemen, for example, you'll find skyscrapers in the city of Shibam made of mud bricks. Shibam, by the way, is about the same size as New York City. Another common belief is that mud bricks are fragile, an ephemeral way of building, but some of the oldest buildings in the world are made of mud. So, to find out a bit more about mud in the past and the present, let's welcome Ronald Rael, the author of Earth Architecture, founder of eartharchitecture.org, and Assistant Professor of Architecture at the University of California, Berkeley. Ronald, welcome to By Design.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Ronald, your book talks about the history of mud bricks, but it's really about mud bricks in contemporary buildings. And there are, in your book, I must say, some wonderful buildings, quite a few of them Australian. What got you into focusing on earth architecture in the age of metal?
Right. Well, it so happened that I grew up in a part of the United States where the majority of the buildings are constructed of earth. And my father was a builder, and we, helping him growing up, we built and reconstructed and renovated and built some new earth buildings there. When I went off to study architecture in college, I discovered in looking in the library that many of the buildings made of earth were constructed by some of the same architects I was studying in school. So the modern architects were, in fact, building with earth as well, and that sort of kind of got me hooked.
And so you never actually, being brought up where you were, you never thought of earth buildings as being sort of archaeological sites. They were all, it was all always contemporary architecture for you.
Right. They were traditional, and my grandparents' house, my mother's house, they were all constructed of earth. Because my father was a builder, I happened to be maybe the first person to live in a wood and glass and metal building, and so I was kind of the oddball in a way.
Now, in the book, you look at 47 projects built since 1970, and you chose projects that you believe advanced the state of earth architecture. So what were the most important advances that you were looking for?
Well, I was looking at buildings that were working in harmony with contemporary conditions. Now, one of those contemporary conditions is materials, steel, concrete, and glass, and how architecture constructed of earth could work really in concert with these modern materials. And so many of the projects in the book are just that. Other contemporary issues that work in harmony with earth are issues of earthquakes, for example. It's a major issue on the planet, throughout the planet. And so I was looking for architects who were working and resolving issues of how earth buildings could be built in places where there were earthquakes, or issues of ecology, issues of education, those sorts of things.
Well, let's take a step back and get a perspective of how we got to where we are now. Your book, as I say, is about contemporary architecture, but you do offer some historical references that are important to understand. And in particular, you talk about a French architect, François Cointereau, who founded a school of rural architecture in Paris in 1788, the year before the fall of the Bastille and the year in which Australia was settled by white people. Cointereau is known as the father of modern earth architecture. So why is that? What did he discover?
Well, Cointereau sort of discovered rammed earth in the same way that Christopher Columbus discovered America. Really, rammed earth was always there. It was always in the south of France. He just happened to travel down there and see that it was everywhere. And even to this day, south of Lyon, most of the buildings are constructed of rammed earth. I think what Cointereau began to innovate was ways to rethink rammed earth in the modern era at that time. And so he was thinking about it relative to the French Revolution. So he was thinking about factories. He was thinking about workers' housing, all constructed of earth. And he's also being very innovative. He invented the compressed earth block. And he did that by modeling a machine after the wine press, so the machine for pressing grapes to produce the juices. And so instead of grapes, he put in soil, and out came an earth block.
And, of course, very famously, Antoni Gaudí, the Catalan architect, made several of his projects out of rammed earth, as did Edward Lutyens, the leading 20th century English architect, and Luis Barragán, the very important Mexican architect.
Right, and we can add to that list Le Corbusier, Frank Lloyd Wright, Rudolf Schindler, Adolf Loos, some of the most important names in modern architecture. Are the same names that built at Earth at one time in their history. And so this is really one of the very well-kept secrets of the history of modern architecture.
You're with By Design on ABC Radio National, and we've been joined today by the architect Ronald Rael, author of Earth Architecture, a new book published by Princeton Architectural Press. Ronald, let's talk now about some of the very contemporary houses in your book, which, as I said, features many Australian buildings. What is it about the Australian compressed earth buildings that got them a spot in the book?
Well, it was really hard to pick projects from Australia because there are so many and so many good architects in Australia and so many that are working with earth. And so I feature Kerry Hill, Glenn Murcutt and Tropo, Gary Marinko, Christopher Chris, and John Wardle. And so really a book could be written entirely on Australian earth architecture. But these are exceptional designers. The Vineyard House by John Wardle, for example, is not only a great earth building, but it's a great building in general. And I have to mention also the National Wine Center, which is really brilliant, which has the largest rammed earth wall in the Southern Hemisphere, where they took soil from the major wine-producing regions of Australia, brought them together in one place, and created a sort of wall terroir.
Two things I want to say about the National Wine Centre. One is that, it's not in the middle of the outback. It is in the middle of a city. It's in Adelaide. The other is that if you hadn't been told, you wouldn't know that this was a rammed earth building. I mean, it looks like a very fine building, but it doesn't have any sort of traditional or folksy look to it.
No, the concept of the architects is that they would take you on a journey from the soil to the glass in terms of the production of wine, and they do that with the architecture as well. So Australia is very famous for its application of technology to the production of wine. It's world famous for that, and the building represents that. So it's really a high technology building that's using soil, but also using glass, using stainless steel, using wood in very sophisticated ways.
You've established eartharchitecture.org. Why did you do this, and what are your aims?
Well, in the beginning, I wanted to collect for my own purposes a body of research. But what began to happen is because I was placing this research on the web via the blog, people began to write me. And so I realized it became an opportunity to tell the story of earth architecture, the global story of earth architecture, especially the story of earth architecture in the contemporary culture.
And do you have a favorite earth architecture building?
Oh, it's hard to say, but probably the buildings in Mali, Africa, they're really fantastic, as well as the buildings you named in the beginning of the show, the skyscrapers in Yemen. They're unbelievable.
What makes the buildings in... one can see why you might be struck by the ones in Yemen, because it's not what we expect, a mud brick skyscraper. But what about the buildings in Mali? What's special about them?
Well, what's really fascinating about them is that there are annual traditions of plastering the building. So during the rainy seasons, which occur every year, the building sort of melts away a bit. And then the the village or the community replasters the building. So the buildings take on the shape of the body, and they're very organic, and they are, I think, much more organic than some of the most contemporary organic architecture that you'll find today.
And do you yourself live in a building made out of rammed earth?
Well, I live in California right now, and so my building isn't rammed earth, but I still visit my parents in the country in Colorado, and there I do own a mud brick building that was built in 1929 by a relative.
And what about upkeep there? Are we in a sort of Marley kind of situation? Do you have to replaster every year?
I do, and that's part of living in an earth building, but I think the perception is that that kind of upkeep is problematic. But really, if you think about any building, you have to repaint it, you have to apply new siding, you have to point to the masonry. And so replastering with earth is really a kind of delightful way to upkeep your building.
Well, Ronald Rael, author of The Delightful Earth Architecture, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Details of the book and of eartharchitecture.org on our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. And that's also the place to go to listen again to the show. Just head to the site and follow the download directions. And that's also where you can explore our archive of programs since 2006. You can listen to By Design on the wireless every Wednesday between 3 p.m. and 4, and on Saturday mornings between 9 and 10. The show is produced by Mark Wakeley and Jan Ryan, with technical production by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. I'm Alan Saunders. I'll be back next week with another By Design.